This is the third week, the third sermon in a four-week series called Authenticity. The last few weeks, we have been redefining what evangelism means. If you look over, where's it at? Over here, this is one of the pistons of our church. This is one of the visions of our church is evangelism. And so this whole month, we are talking about in January what evangelism is. So we've been using the word REAL as an acronym. So far, we've learned that R stands for a righteous life. E stands for evangelistic passion. And today, we are looking at the letter A, which stands for authentic walk. And so, here's the thing. We've been talking about for these last couple of weeks about what evangelism is. That it's not about a street corner preacher. It's not about door-to-door knocking. It's not about, you know, handing out tracts, which all of those have, it has its place. But evangelism starts with you and me. It starts here first. If our heart isn't evangelized, if our heart isn't set upon Christ, then everything else that we do will be half-hearted for the Lord. It goes to our devotion, our daily devotion, our daily praying, coming to church, worshiping, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat our coworkers, our spouses. It goes into everything that we do. There's no place that is exempt from a half-hearted believer. It goes into everything. You're giving, you're serving, you're using your talents and your treasures and so forth. And so evangelism starts right here first. It's a convincing of ourselves that we are ambassadors, that we are representatives of the Most High. That's it. Now, some of us can't get that wrapped into our brains because we don't feel that we need to be representatives of anybody because we haven't got our stuff together. We still think bad thoughts about ourselves, or we still at the traffic light still cursing our heads. You know what I'm talking about. You know, here's the thing. And I've heard this 1,000 times. Pastor, I'm going to serve. I'm going to really get in there, but I got to clean some stuff up first in my life. And so I say to that, good luck. Because that will never happen. It will never, there'll never be a day where you clean yourself up enough where you can tolerate yourself. There'll never be a day. We have to, as believers, find our value, find our strength, find our purpose in Him. That's it. Because without Christ, all of this is for nothing. I'm wasting my breath. You're wasting your breath. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your value. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your talents for nothing. If it's all for Him and Him alone. And so, whenever we think about evangelism, I want you to think about something that is real, something that is authentic, something that you can feel that's tangible. And that is your life, that is your experiences, that is your story. And today I want to talk to you about what a real, authentic walk looks like. So what does it look like? It's something that is real. It's not perfect. Or the absence of trouble or failure. It's not someone who never struggles with sin or temptation. That's not an authentic, real, genuine walk with the Lord. Because I read in my Bible that we have got to persevere. That we've got to continue to keep fighting. You see, if there was no struggle in Christianity, then the Bible would talk about strolling through life. Skipping through life. Meandering through life. There'd be no sense for passion. There'd be no desire or urgency to pray. It would be just que sera, sera. But an authentic walk, an authentic Christian, an authentic real believer is one that struggles, is one that has scars that they can show and bear out because they have struggled through this thing. They have been in those dark places. They have praised whenever they should be hiding. They're worshiping when they should be crying. They're serving when they should be running the other way. That is a real, authentic, genuine, bona fide believer. That is a person that has a walk that has been checked, that has been tried, that has been proven. If you're not struggling as a believer today, then jump in. It's a wonderful time. If you're not struggling, that means you're not standing for something. Amen? There is a standard in which every believer has to uphold, and it is the Word of God. And that takes struggle. It takes perseverance. It takes your brother coming alongside you and picking you back up and dusting your pants off and say, keep moving forward. That's why we sing the song that we sang, that we're moving forward, not looking back. We're moving ahead. We're here to declare to you, my past is over. In you, all things have been made new. I'm surrendering my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. That's a real, genuine, authentic walk with Christ. It's about struggle. It's about perseverance. It's not about being happy. But I'm going to tell you, you'll find joy in the struggle. You'll find peace in His arms when we trust in Him. Amen? A lot of us need to let our death grip go on our own life and surrender it over to the Lord. You want to have a proven walk with Christ? You want to be bona fide in what you do and what you say as a believer? You want to be a true, tried, and true believer? Then let go of your life and give it to Him. That's why we have to bear our burdens daily, that we have to die to ourselves daily. It is a struggle to die daily. Amen? I say it all the time, that we are living sacrifices. The trouble with living sacrifices is it like to wiggle off the altar every once in a while. When it's heated the most, we have to die daily. How many of you guys find it enjoyable to die daily? Just raise your hand all around this building right now. Over here, no, here, no, no. What's the deal? Dying stinks. It's hard. It's something that is absolutely 100% impossible in and of ourselves to do. We cannot do it alone. Poke your neighbor and say, you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Stop trying. It's impossible to do. You can't do it. That's why we have got to depend on the Spirit of God to transform our lives and be our strength in the struggle. Can somebody say amen? We need to live by His Spirit. Listen, there's too many of us that have our own hands on our own situations, and we're making it worse. But because of our own stubborn ways, we won't let go. We won't surrender. We won't yield. We won't die. We won't forsake ourselves. We won't deny ourselves. And we wonder why we can't hear God. We wonder why there's no joy in our life. We wonder why that our life is lukewarm. We wonder why that we look at our watch and say, worship went too long. My goodness, how long is this thing going to last? It's a struggle to serve God. Amen? But I thank God that through our struggles, He has overcome them. Just for us. He didn't leave us naked and afraid. He didn't leave us by ourselves. He didn't leave us just to fend for ourselves. He sent the Holy Spirit to be our strength. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we can do more than we could ever think or ask of. That through our pain, we can serve. That through our weakness, we can find joy. That through our sorrow, we can be comforted by Him. So this walk has a lot to do with the Spirit's power in our life. And by the way, there is nothing ordinary about an authentic walk as well. There's nothing ordinary about it. For instance, ordinary believers are afraid of giants, but authentic believers, they kill them. Ordinary believers seldom forget, and authentic believers always forgives. Ordinary believers fight for their rights, and authentic believers have died to their rights. Ordinary believers fear death, but authentic believers have already died. Guys, being an authentic, real believer with a walk that glorifies God always comes with sacrifice. You just look at ordinary believers are afraid of giants, but authentic believers kill them. You look at King David. David didn't just show up one day and kill Goliath. There was preparation before the battle. David was the runt of the litter. And because of that, his dad sent him out to tend the sheep all day. David, go tend the sheep. That was the lowest man on the totem pole's job. Go tend the sheep. And so out there in those times where there was nothing going on and the sheep were okay and everything was going fine, nobody to talk to, David would begin to pray. David would hone his skills on his instrument. David would begin to pray and God began to download things into David's life. And then we see that David killed the beast with his sling because they were trying to come in and kill the sheep. And David was sent by his dad with some food to take to his brothers out in battle. And here's where preparation meets destiny. David came with some lunch for his brothers. And his brothers were like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "I don't know. Dad said bring you some lunch, so here's some lunch." And here all of Israel was held captive by this one enormous individual called Goliath. Everybody was shaking in their boots. Everybody was afraid, even the king. The king was saying, "I will give you my daughter's hand in marriage, and I'll give you wealth for the person that'll go out and kill this guy." Nobody was taking him up on it. David walks in and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should come against the armies of God? What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing?" So the Bible says that he went down to the creek and he got some smooth stones and he put it in his pocket. David began to walk out toward this giant that had mocked Israel. And Goliath said, "Is this all you got? You're bringing your children out here?" And David said, "Listen, you come with me, come at me with sword and spirit, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And at that, he ran. The Bible says David didn't meander toward the giant. He ran to him. He took out his sling and put a rock in it and threw it in the only place that could kill this giant. And not only did he kill him, but he took his head off with his own sword. You see, that is a bona fide, real, genuine believer who will look at the circumstances and say, "I acknowledge that they are there. I acknowledge that that giant is there. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the Lord." And put that mountain on notice. Amen? See, listen, when we face giants in our life, you got to know that there's going to be chinks in your armor. Why? Because we're in the battle. "Well, that's lack of faith, Pastor Jimmy, because you've got chinks in your armor." No, it's not. It means that you're in the battle, that you're confronting the enemy. We know that the battle is won, but we still have to get in the battle. We see that authentic believers also forgive. They don't fight for their rights because they have already died. They don't look for a better life outside of Christ because they have found their life in Him. This is the authentic, real walk that I'm talking about this morning. The Bible teaches us that a real, authentic walk will be, there'll be certain characteristics. They'll be different from the non-believer. This walk isn't chosen just for a few Christians. It is for every single one of us in this room today. So let's look at the conduct of our walk. Let's look at that. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. If you don't have it, it's up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. It says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to keep, to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Church, we have an obligation to live our lives a certain way. That's our obligation. The reason Paul is saying such things to this church in Thessalonica is because it is important to God. He's saying this in verse 14. "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Now, I'd rather get an instruction from God like this than the warning he gave the church in Revelation. He said to this in the church in Sardis, he said this, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead." In other words, your conduct has no character. Your life is, your mouth is saying one thing, but your life is doing another. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15, this is housekeeping here. This is him telling the church, this is the way you conduct yourself so that society knows the difference. So that you're evangelizing by the way you're encouraging one another. By the way you're loving one another. That you're spurring one another on. You're not spurning one another. You're not kicking each other when they're down. The world does that. I know, and it seems like that the church has a reputation for eating its own. That if one falls, the church goes, "Well, I knew it was going to happen." No, when we see our brother and sister struggling, we go to them, we encourage them, we lift them up, we make sure that if they're hurting, that they don't pay wrong for the other one. Why? It's not because of just for our sake, but it's for the world's sake as well. They are looking for a difference maker. They are looking for hope. Are you that hope today? Do you represent that hope today? I hope and pray that you do. And here we see that in Thessalonians that he is encouraging the church on the way that they should conduct themselves when they are in the world. Listen, the church isn't about just spiritual lofty things. It's about practical things as well. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about considering the other before yourself. It's not taking the head of the table. It's about scooting over and let somebody else sitting in the seat of honor. It's about serving with no expectation of acknowledgement or rewards or accolades. Why do we do this? It's all training. It's all preparation so that we will be great ambassadors for the Son of God, for the Savior of the world, for the lover of our soul, so that people can look at our lives and see the difference. Amen? See the difference. So let's look at our attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's look at verse 16 through 22. It says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." He will do it. So Paul tells these believers to check your attitude. So let's look at this. Be joyful always. How is that possible? How is that possible? Be joyful always. I heard someone say one time, After I'd said, hey, have a good day, to which that other person said, sorry, I've already made other plans. Right? I've already made other plans. I've already made up my mind that today's not going to be good, so I've made up my mind I'm not going to have a good day. I've got other plans. I'm going to wallow in this thing. How many of you guys have ever had that day where you just want to wallow? Where you just want to sit and soak and sour and every other rhyming word I can think of with that. You just want to pull the shades, right? You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to be joyful. You've already made up your mind as to how you're going to conduct yourself and how your attitude is going to be. Listen, a grumpy, miserable, unhappy, cranky, irritable, cantankerous. Say to your neighbor, cantankerous. How many times we get to say cantankerous, right? Cantankerous. Cantankerous, ill-tempered, grouchy. Stop nudging your neighbor. Grouchy, crabby, gloomy Christian. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. Does that mean that you can't have a bad day? Yeah, sure, we all have bad days. Sure, we all feel disconnected at some point or another. Sure, we feel like that we just want to crawl in a hole and not come back. Sure, we feel those things. But a believer, a real, authentic, genuine believer who has a real, authentic walk with Christ, know that that is not his lifestyle. It is just a stopping point. It's not a permanent destination. We need to understand that we have got to pull ourselves up and put our hope in Christ. Amen? So, be joyful always. That is a struggle. But we need to realize that joy isn't circumstantial. Joy isn't based on our circumstances. Joy is based on the one who saved our soul. Joy is based on what Christ has done, not on what we can do, not on what our circumstances can do for us or benefit for us, but it's based on Him and Him alone. Our second attitude is this: pray continually. An authentic Christian will not only pray during crisis situations, but they will also pray voluntarily throughout the day. They'll pray. Not just whenever crisis hits, not whenever we need God to pull us up out of a hole or out of a circumstance or pull us out of a bad choice that we have made, but a true, authentic believer prays because he finds joy in the Lord, because he knows that his hope resides in Him, that without prayer we are disconnected. Without prayer, we have no hope. Without prayer, we can never figure out what God's plan is for us. D.L. Moody, one of the most profound, prolific ministers of the 1800s and in modern days as well, once said this. He said, I'd rather be able to pray than to be a good preacher. He said, Jesus Christ never taught his disciples to preach, only to pray. Isn't that the truth? Jesus didn't go and teach them homiletics or hermeneutics. He didn't tell them how to set up a right sermon and put the right punchlines and all these other things in there. He didn't do that. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to connect with their Heavenly Father. And you and I need to understand that the only thing that Jesus is trying to teach us here today is to be completely dependent upon Him. And the only way that we can do that is by prayer. Because prayer tells this to a believer: I don't have the answers. I'm not capable. I can't do this on my own. Prayer keeps us connected to the Father, keeps us connected to His voice, His heart. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go a day without hearing my Father's voice. The next is, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. If some of you are lacking direction and lacking the will of God in your life, you need to look no further. The Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. There was a Scottish minister who was known for being, for his capability rather of looking on the brighter side. Used to annoy his parishioners. Always looking on the brighter side. One day it was gloomy, it was wet and damp, and that she couldn't see the sun at all. It was cold. One of the members thought to himself, well, I know our pastor can't say anything good about this day, so let's see what he's going to say. To which the old Scottish minister got before his congregation and prayed, and he said, thank you, Lord, that it isn't always like this. You see, a church, a lot of it depends on our perspective. Perspective is everything. We can all get down in a funk, in a hole, to where we can't see the light of day. That's why it's important that we need brothers and sisters alongside of us that can come alongside of us and bring proper perspective. I'm part of a group of ministers. We meet every Thursday morning. And in those Thursday mornings, sometimes we don't even talk about church. Sometimes we laugh so hard that coffee comes out our nose. Because we goof off. We don't look at me holy. Don't look at me with those holy eyes. Look at you. I saw that holy eye right there. Listen, sometimes you got to get the right perspective and you got to get around the right people that's going to draw you to that right perspective. You got to get around people that will speak life into you when you don't want to hear it. I want to be around people that chafe me, that make me upset, but they're speaking the truth in love to me. And in order for us to have the right perspective in this area and to give thanks continually, always, because this is the will of God for us, we've got to have the right perspective. If we always say that we're never going to achieve this, we're never going to get to this certain level, we're never going to get a promotion, we're never going to get this level in our walk with Christ, we're never. Well, then, based on what you said, you probably never will. Let me encourage you, try this one time. Try speaking life over yourself. Try speaking life over yourself. Try speaking the Word over yourself. If you don't know the Word, if you don't know where to start, open up the Word of God and find those encouraging scriptures. All this month, as a church, we've been fasting and praying in preparation for this year and what God's going to be doing for us. And back there, Randy Bone has set up a prayer and fasting chart. There's no reason why any of us in this place should ever be confused about where we need to start in prayer. Why? Because you have no excuse, because we have written it out for you. We call time of prayer and fasting because it's important, because it's a part of denying ourselves and focusing in upon Him so that we can find the joy in our life. And joy is not circumstantial because it's based on Him. And we begin to pray and we begin to fast and we begin to thank God for what He has done in our life. Then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to bring right perspective again into our life. We begin to give thanks in all circumstances, whether it's good, whether it's gloomy, whether it's bad, whether there's sickness, whether there's persecution, whether we're persevering, whether we're on the mountaintop or the mountain has fallen on us. We can thank God that it didn't smash us all the way. We can find joy and thanksgiving in every circumstance. The Word of God isn't circumstantial. It never changes based on how we feel. It doesn't warp itself around our life. We can tort ourselves around the Word. Amen? It's important that we allow the Word to work in our life so that we can continually give thanks in all circumstances. There's nothing ordinary about two prisoners in a cell who were just beaten within an inch of their lives, singing and worshiping and praising and thanking God at midnight. The results of such authentic praise was that the prison doors were opened and the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" See, you don't need to put your best face on. You don't need to put your Sunday best on. You don't need to put your false front on. Paul and Silas were bleeding, exposed. They probably smelled the high heaven. They were in stocks, but they were singing and praising God, not hoping that they would fall asleep because of the pain in their body, but they were praising and worshiping God at midnight in a cell with open wounds on their body. And the Bible says that that cell began to shake, that prison began to shake, and those doors flung open. And that jailer fell to his knees and said, "Tell me, what must I do to be saved?" Paul not only led him to the Lord, but he led his entire household to the Lord. You see, everybody around you can be affected by how you handle circumstances, by our perspective to give thanks always. This kind of authenticity doesn't happen on our own strength. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Joy doesn't originate from us. Peace doesn't originate from us. It originates from Him, sent down by the Holy Spirit to enable us to find joy in the suffering, strength in our weakness, and peace in our despair. His word is solid. It's constant. It never changes. Amen? The last thing is, do not put the Spirit's fire out. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. The Holy Spirit shouldn't be treated like a bad gift at Christmas. You don't know quite what to do with it, right? It's the best gift that heaven can offer. It's the Holy Spirit. If we want to change, in our lives, we must welcome in the work of the Holy Spirit into our lives. AA can't do it. So Celebrate Recovery can't do it. Teen Challenge can't do it. According to the Bible, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Everything originates with Him. Everything. Guys, a holy life will make the deepest impressions if we're daring enough to do it. D.L. Moody once said, lighthouses do not blow horns. They just simply shine the light. They don't have bells and whistles. They don't have the loudest horns. They just simply shine the light in the darkness. That's it. How do we shine our light in the darkness as a church? We encourage one another. We uplift one another. We, in verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. You want to shine, you want to know how to shine your light? You put 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15 in your spirit and do not let it go. This is the oil for our lamp, church. This is the fuel for our light. It's not some lofty spiritual principle. It is basic 101 Christianity. That we treat others with the same way that we want to be treated. That we encourage the timid. That we uplift our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we hold on to what is good. We pray continually. In all circumstances, be joyful. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything and hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Guys, this is the holy life that God requires out of me and out of you. We can do it. The first century church made its greatest impact on the world when it chose to live least like it. Paul and Silas, again, they rejoiced in the prison. And the Philippian jailer was converted. And as believers today, we need to walk with that walk of authenticity. That we do not put out the Spirit's fire. that we hold fastly, firmly, with all the tenacity that we have to what is good, what is noble, what is honorable, what is holy. Because it's what distinguishes you from the darkness. Lighthouses don't just sit at the edge of the water and not put out any light. But they shine the light brighter and more specifically when the storms of life happen. Because they know that everything is on the line here. Ships can't see in the darkness. They can't see in the storms and the trials. That's why they need the lights. They don't need horns. They don't need bells. They don't need whistles. They need the light. Church, you are that light. You are capable of doing greater things than you can ever hope or imagine if we will hold on to the Spirit's power, if we will not let the Spirit's power go out in our life. The way we abandon our post in the lighthouse is by living like the world. It's insisting on our own way. It's fighting for our rights. It's not dying to ourselves, but living to our own pleasure. Holding on to our own plans. Holding on to our own goodness. Never dying, never one time considering anybody else better than yourself, but treating yourself above everybody else. That is how you put out the Spirit's fire. That is how you extinguish the light of Christ in your life. So I encourage you today, let that light burn brightly. Let that light infuse you. Let that light encompass every part of your being so that it flows out of every fiber of your being so that Jesus will be lifted up in your life. I want to encourage you today. You can be that light. You can use those struggles. You can use those hurts. You can use those wounds that the enemy meant for your harm. But God reached down and he sent his son to lift you back up and to give you scars and chinks in your armor so that you can be a representation of the goodness and the love of God. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Guys, I intend for this whole series called Authenticity to be a pep rally, to be an encouragement to you that you can do it. You can do it. You can look at that coworker and see that they're having a bad day and go and encourage them. You don't have to quote scripture. You don't have to say lofty religious things. But you can go and you can encourage. You can be the light. Well, Pastor, what if I'm struggling that day? What if I'm going through stuff? Let go of your rights. Let go of your rights to complain. For once, let go of your right to complain. Find joy in the process. Deny yourself for one time in your life. And say, Lord, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I sure don't want to encourage anybody. But just like the Lord said in the garden, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. God, I want to, on a regular, daily basis, to be a representation of you, not only in my good times, not only in my strengths, but in my failures, Lord, let your light shine the brightest. May it pierce the darkest of days. May it pierce the most troubled hearts. May my circumstances, may my pain, may my shortcoming be a blessing to somebody else. May they see the way a true, real, authentic, genuine believer walks through adversity. Help me to be a teacher, Lord. Without saying a word, help me to be a teacher, Lord. Church, may your light shine the brightest in your darkest of times. In your hardest struggles, may the light of Christ shine brightly in your life. I pray that whenever you're the most confused and you're the most hurt, and you feel like the Spirit's power has gone out in your life, that you would persevere. Because remember, joy isn't circumstantial. It's based on Jesus. He goes beyond time. He goes beyond circumstance. He goes beyond reason. He is steady. He never changes. He never moves. He's constant. And may His light always guide you, always cause you to persevere, always causes you to be kind, to love one another, to consider others better than yourselves. Guys, it's not complicated. It's not. Being real, being genuine, it's all about showing your battle scars. It's all about putting Jesus on display so that when the world asked, how can you be joyful? There was a man back home. He was a DJ on American Family Radio, J.J. Jasper. He and his son, he was 6 at the time. They were out on a go-kart. They were going around the farm and having a good time. And his son said, Dad, do a spin out, Dad. Do a donut, Dad. So they'd done it 100,000 different times, right in the same spot. But this time was different. He hit the gas and they went around and they flipped. But the thing landed right on his son and killed him instantly, right then. Right then, gone. When he went to the hospital, they rushed him to the hospital. They could tell that his son was gone even before they got there. One of his good friends came to him, and he said, JJ, how could God allow this to happen? And J.J. Jasper said, no. God didn't allow this to happen. Bad things happen. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. This is a man just an hour before lost his son, and he was at the wheel. And his response to his friend was, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Those are the words of Job, whom when he lost his entire family, and one day, the Bible says that he tore his clothes, shaved his head, threw ashes on his head. That's what the Jews did to mark a time of mourning, of humility and humbleness. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. See, guys, joy isn't circumstantial. It's all based on Him. He never moves. He never wavers. And our light comes from Him. He is the source. He is, Jesus said that He is the branch, or He is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. You look at everything around us. You look at the electric bass and the keyboards. You look at the lights. All of these things have a power source. In your house, your television has a power source. Your toaster, refrigerator, everything is connected to a power source. When you unplug that thing, your flat screen TV becomes absolutely worthless. It has no use whatsoever. It's only until it is plugged in that it serves its purpose. And guys, we need to be the same way. We know that our power source is Christ Himself. Do not take that cord away and disconnect yourself from Him. Keep yourself plugged in, grafted into the vine. Because it's in Him that we bear fruit. It's in Him we can find joy. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, I come before You in the name of Jesus. And I thank You so much that you are our source of strength. And today I really feel that this Holy Spirit is speaking. There's some people that are struggling here today. They want to be real. They want to be authentic. But they are in the battle. They are struggling. I want to encourage you to continue to persevere. Continue to move forward. Don't look back. Keep moving ahead. Declare today, your past is over. That in Him, you are made new. You're surrendering your life to Christ and you're moving forward. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that you would cause us to be the light in this dark world. That you would cause us, Father, to be the difference. To be the difference maker. Help us to shine a light, Lord, in the darkness. Even in our pain. Use our pain, Lord. Nothing's off limits to you, Father. Help us, Lord, to be totally and completely dependent upon you. Because you are the author. You are the finisher of our faith. We know that in you are before all things, and in you, all things hold together. We know that you are the beginning and you are the end. We know that you are the great I am. I know, Father, that you are working all things to my good. I know that I'm an heir and a co-heir with Christ Jesus. I know that you love me because while I was yet a sinner, you still died for me. You didn't wait until I cleaned myself up. You died even when I despised you. And because of that, I know that I'm redeemed. I know that I am a son of God. I know that your light is inside of me. And because of that, Lord, I want to represent you. Even in my darkness, even in my weakness, use me, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. May the oil of your Holy Spirit fill my lamp, that my light would never extinguish, would never go out. Put me in places so that I can be an encouragement. Put me in places that I can be an ambassador. Put me in places where I can pray for somebody. Put me in places that it pushes my faith forward. So that I can be a light, so that my walk, my real, authentic, genuine walk would be identifiable to you, my Lord, and to all those around me. But I can't do it by myself, Lord. I need the Spirit's fire in my life. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to be my strength. I invite you in to be my joy. I invite you in to be my encouragement, to strengthen me, and to cause me to be a light that cannot be hidden, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Use my life, Lord. Use it all. I give it to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to you, I freely give. I will ever love and trust in His presence. Daily live. I surrender all, Lord. Would you say that to Him this morning? If you feel comfortable, just raise your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my right to be right. I surrender my will, Lord. I surrender my right to be justified, to be vindicated. I surrender my right, Lord. To comfort, I surrender my right, Lord. To consider myself first, I surrender. All that you may be lifted up in my life and glorified. Use my life. Use it, Father. Good, the bad, the ugly, the disobedient parts of my life, use it all. So that my life can be set ablaze for you. So that I can be a representative of you. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. God, if there's any giants that need to be slayed in my life, let it start on my knees. If there's anybody to be forgiven, if I've been wronged, Lord, give me the grace and the humility to forgive. And not feel like I have to be vindicated or be proved right. Help me to die to myself daily, Lord, because I want to live to my flesh. It's part of my nature to wonder. It's part of my nature to look to the right, to the left. It's part of my nature to see and to react in what I see. Help me to die to myself. And Lord, help me to be joyful always. Help me to pray continuously. And may my life song bring glory to your name. Father, may you be lifted up. May you be glorified. So that others can taste and see that you are good. That your mercy endures forever. That there is grace enough for them. So Lord, today I surrender. I give up. All to you, Lord Jesus. All to you I daily give. All to you I daily give. I will ever love and trust you, Lord. In your presence, I'm going to daily live because I surrender all to you. Lord, help me to have an authentic, real, genuine walk so that everybody can see that you are good. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Church, I want to encourage you this week, and I charge you, as Jesus did to his disciples, he sent them out two by two. He sent them out to heal the sick, to give encouragement, to speak about the kingdom of God. He commissioned them to go. I commission you this morning to go, to be joyful this week, to encourage those who need to be encouraged, to be a light to those that need to know the light. I commission you this week. Father, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you that you are real and that you are genuine. Help us to be that way in our life as well, so that people can see the chinks in our armor, so that they can see our wounds and our battle scars, and they can say, how in the world did you ever live through that and not blame God? How can you be joyful today? How can you have a positive attitude today? And your answer will be like that old Scottish preacher who said, I thank you, God, that it's not always like this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming today. Listen, if you need personal prayer today, my wife and I will be up here. We'll pray for you. If not, listen, God bless you. Again, you could have been anywhere else, but you are here today. I thank you. You guys have a wonderful day. Enjoy each other's company. God bless you. You're dismissed.